You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
And this is the time when God began to stir you up to begin to do. And I was so grateful when then God was speaking, He was moving, and that the church wasn't silent. And then things began to happen, because this is about when you got stirred, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I recall sitting there that morning after and looking at all the news and being being from Detroit, having witnessed firsthand in my teenage years the riots and the chaos
in Detroit,
that happened
in
1968 in Detroit, Michigan. I thought to my mind, I thought we were, had went beyond that. But then I just hit me the thought, this can't be happening again. What about our children and grandchildren? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of country are they going to grow up in? And then another thing hit me. There was a strange silence from the body of Christ.
Yeah, very
strange. I didn't hear anybody, within the body of Christ collectively making a statement or addressing.
Very silent.
Very silent from, all different denominational stripes. And I thought, where is the church? Where is the body of Christ? We have the answer here. And that prompted me to call my friend, Dr. James Miller, because I realized while we can't affect what happens in Washington, D.C., we have no power over what's going on in other cities, in other places, whether it be Baltimore or Ferguson or at the site of any other of the upheaval that was occurring over the past few years during that time. We can make a difference for where we live in our own backyard. We can make a difference for our community. So calling James, I told him, let's bring our churches together. His church, my church. We'd already been friends for over a decade.
His church is primarily African-American. Yours is primarily
exactly white. And we've known each other for about a decade. We've fellowshiped. We've brought our fellowships together for joint worship services over those years.
I love his choir. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, great choir.
I love his choir.
So he said, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So that next day on Sunday evening, we brought the two churches together. I had some other friends from the community come in. And we made a decision that night to create, by our unity and love, to create a different memory in the minds of our children and the children of our community. So unlike those of us, those of us within our congregations our age that had the memories of the riots and the division, that at this time of great division unraveling in our nation, we chose the path of unity. We made a decision to create a new memory by coming together. And that evening, we also decided to reach out to other pastors in our Myrtle Grove, Warrington area on the west side of the city, and to approach them about joining us. Maybe every other month, a few months, we would have a joint gathering where we would celebrate the gospel, that we would agree to disagree on other issues. All this was verbal.
Right.
We were just kind of thinking it through at that time. Nothing written down. But we realized that we have people like in Dr. Miller's church that may be politically on a different side with Democrats. Mine may be mostly on Republican side of the issue. Differences in maybe perspectives on cultural issues, even theology, when we start crossing over denominational lines. But we knew that if we agree, if we all of us are believers, so if we agreed on the gospel, that we're family.
So define the gospel for those that are watching and listening.
Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, Paul made this statement. He said, I'm writing to the believers at Corinth, that I'm writing to you concerning the gospel, that if you hold on to the things that you have learned in relationship to the gospel, that you first heard, and hold on to it without wavering, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to more in his resurrected body more than 500 of the brothers to the believers at the same time. And the essence of the essentials of our faith, Paul explained in the opening chapters of the book of Romans, from chapter 1 right on through chapter 6, 7, Paul lays it out, making no bones about it. These are the things he told his Jewish brothers that we must agree on.
Right.
That there is no room for compromise, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We can't save ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not by works. At least any man can boast. Mm-hmm. But rather, through our repentance, a change of mind and heart, turning away from self and going our own way and turning towards Christ, we find in that right. profession of Him as our Savior and Lord, mm-hmm. redemption, forgiveness of sins, and a new life. The essence of the gospel. Right. Well, it has been the message, Greg, of what the prophet of the last century, Dr. Billy Graham, mm-hmm. preached throughout all of his years. You know, thus he was called the pastor of America, mm-hmm. or America's pastor. The simple gospel that unites us. And while James and I said there are many things we disagree on, and people right. of our church will disagree on, mm-hmm. but if we
you ever
all,
had a board meeting, right?
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Or even within your yeah. own church,
yeah,
you'll
own
never have
yeah,
a right, total 100%
right.
agreement on everything.
Right.
Even some theological issues beyond, way beyond the gospel. But if we agree on the gospel, you're my brother in Christ. That's my sister in the Lord. And we're commanded, it's not a holy suggestion.
Right.
It's a command to love one another.
Right.
In that supernatural agape love.
By this they will know.
They'll know. Yeah, right. John 17 became right. our foundational
right.
Text, our biblical foundation for the movement. But it's buttressed and supported by much of Paul's writings.
Yeah. So Jesus said of all the things he could say after he's been ministering, he said, who do they say I am?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, do they drink caffeine or they don't drink caffeine? How long is their hair? What's going on? All
yeah.
these doctrinal things.
Right.
He just said, who do they say I am? And they say, you know, some say this and some say that. And he says, well, who do you say I am, Peter? And he says, thou art the Son of God. And he said, the flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. So it's that revelation of who He is
Amen.
That unites us. And then the sanctification over a period of time that
right.
begins to change things. And it's different. I mean, some things
everybody's on a different pace.
Yeah, everybody's
on
a different pace. And yeah. so that's what you're talking about, unification.
And I'll tell you, as a pastor, for 38 years I pastored, 22 in the same church here. And I knew when I would go out on a Sunday morning to preach, I had people, let's say on a scale from 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
10 being total, you know, real mature believers,
right.
1 being a baby.
Right.
I had people on every
right.
step of that scale. So that message that was going out was going to be taken and received
right.
differently. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was going to translate
right.
the preaching, the prophetic word, and it's going to speak differently to people on these different levels
mm-hmm.
in their journey of faith. And it's, I mean, if that's the way it is locally,
yeah.
can you imagine in the vast variety of Christian denominations of true born-again believers,
right.
the vast difference of where people are at on their journey. Naturally, they're going to have different perspectives on this issue or that issue,
right.
depending on where they're at,
right.
you know, on that scale.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it requires love
yeah.
in the body to be patient with people who may not be theologically as astute or have studied or been in the Word long enough to understand that cultural issue and why it's wrong or why it's right, and to love each other, you know, in spite of those issues,
mm-hmm.
to make a commitment that we're going to be family and we're going to agree to disagree on some of these issues beyond
right.
the gospel. We'll trust God do and the Spirit's work in a person's life to
yeah.
gradually take care of that. But in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
even outside of our denomination, we are on the same team, brother. We are
right.
working for the same Lord. And if our goal is to see people saved and come to Christ, then let's team up and do something we can't do alone. We're stronger together. We're not
yeah,
only stronger
together,
we're better together. We are better together.
That's why they keep trying to divide us, because there's
because they know.
Yeah, they know.
And
if
and
only
by,
we knew the reality of who we really are.
And Greg, by the way, our enemies, if you're a Republican, isn't the Democrats.
Right, no.
And it's not a human being. Paul
yeah.
said, we wrestle yeah. not against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. Satan, the fallen
right.
angel, created mm-hmm. by God, beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but seduced by pride. I want to be like God.
And his servants come as angels of light.
Yeah, and all that he took yeah. with him, a
mm-hmm.
third of the angelic host,
yeah.
Cast it out of heaven. Demonic forces are what's behind.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's happening right now in the nation. So it's not that lost brother or sister out there who may seem to be against us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray for their redemption and love
right.
them. We need to shower them with the love of God, to agree to disagree politely, but to say to them, listen, my brother, you know, we want you to know Jesus.
Right.
And not debate with them. If they're lost, they're not going to agree with us anyway.
Paul says that that a lost person who doesn't know God, their minds are blinded
yeah, they can't
by
not.
The God of this world.
Right.
So to reason with someone whose mind, it's not their eyes are blinded, is that they can't see in their mind what you're saying. So they first need to actually know Jesus.
That's it.
Then they can see what you're saying.
And here's the problem in America right now, is that the, and I've said it before, so many churches are politicized in the black community, the white community, the Hispanic community, so caught up in the rhetoric, the hateful rhetoric. They watch too much TV. They lose themselves in it all, and they forgot the message. You know the saying in political circles, stay on message?
Right.
That means to keep with your political party's talking points. Mm-hmm. Stay on message. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go rogue.
Yeah, you know, you wrote about going rogue in your book, you talk about that, yeah.
So staying on message means our message to the lost world is the gospel. Mm. Now, within the church, we're instructed as pastors, I did it for 38 years, to give the full counsel of God.
Right.
But to lost America, our main message to lost people
is, to find them.
Is the gospel.
Yeah.
So we're trying to win debates on homosexuality, abortion, religious liberty, blah, blah, blah. Believe me, I don't take light those issues. There's a place for dialogue on those issues, don't get me wrong. But we have abandoned.
Well, that's actually who we are outside of Jesus Christ. He says, such were some of you. I mean, this is who we are outside of him. So we had to be saved first.
We got to be saved. We abandoned the main message.
Yeah.
The main message is the gospel.
Which is the answer.
Yeah, Billy Graham kept it consistent. Always. Even in a changing end of the last part of the 20th century, Graham stayed on message. But I'm afraid the cultural issues of the last two decades have caused many in the body of Christ, even within my own denomination, Southern Baptist, getting off message, become too politicized. There's a danger. Not everybody, believe me. There are wonderful exceptions in every denomination. But the bulk of hundreds of thousands of Christian churches in America have allowed themselves either to be silenced and intimidated into silence, or got off message.
Well, that's why, you know, with VFN Kingdom Business, we focus on, as you know, in the essentials, which you're talking about the gospel, in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, which is our variances in doctrine, is liberty.
Right, freedom.
But in all things, love.
Right.
That's what the Moravians prayed for 100 years, and the Great Awakening took place, which was part of the birth of this nation.
Right.
And that was the unifying revelation from God for us to be able to have a nation, because we couldn't even unify a nation if we didn't understand, okay, there's some essential things.
Right.
You got to agree with that.
You got to agree. Right.
But there's a lot of, you know, I said one Promise Keepers gathering in D.C. years ago is like, doctrine divides, but love unites. And you had, all these people shouting from all these different denominations and different places, men, which represented, you know, millions of others. And it was bringing together such amazing...
I remember that.
Yeah,
remember.
Power of God.
Coach
and
McCartney.
Yes, Coach McCartney and all that. And so this, and the thing about it is like, you know, you talk about we can agree to disagree. But I want to ask you this question. So what was that first, okay, you and Dr. Miller got together. What was that first Sunday gathering like in that unity movement? What was going
on? That was a defining evening right there. Because we've already known each other. We've already had developed a friendship. Mm-hmm. And our congregations have already used to coming over to each other's churches. Not everybody, but a good percentage of the people in his church and my church. Mm-hmm. And so that evening, we knew we were coming for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. It was unique because of what had happened and what was taking place around us. Mm-hmm. We realized the danger of this unfolding on our TV screens and our children soaking this in and being affected in a negative way by this. We were more motivated by the story going forward, what will happen to our kids, our grandchildren? What will they remember us for? And the Lord brought me back to Genesis, to the book of Genesis, when Joshua crossed the Jordan River with the children of Israel, and the Lord had still parted the water of the Jordan as he did the water of the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. When he got on the other side, Joshua turns, speaking for the Lord. He says, now, when your children ask you, what are these stones for? They assembled and built an altar to remember this parting of the Jordan River into the Promised Land. When your kids get older and they ask you, Daddy, Mommy, what are these stones for? You tell your children that the mighty hand of God parted the Jordan River, that we could walk through on dry ground like he did when he delivered his people out of Egyptian bondage and parted the Red Sea. Right. Let them know the power and the glory of the Lord. And so we thought, you know, can we together, under the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, create a movement here in our own community, that stories would be told by our children and grandchildren, yeah. that in a time of racial, cultural, political hatred and division, that in our own town where I grew up, I remember marching hand in hand with my black sisters and brothers and Hispanic and Asian, and meeting in a high school football stadium,
right.
lifting our voices up and praise to God in unity
right.
at a time of disunity. And that was the whole, that was that magical moment of decision oh. that night. Let's do this.
Right.
Let's move forward. But then it was only a thought of only our
right.
community.
Right.
Nothing beyond that. It wasn't until that first, it wasn't until March of 2017,
mm-hmm.
on that first march, actual march, all up to that point it would have been gathering events in different venues,
mm-hmm.
in different church buildings of different denominations. But that defining time, when it opened, our minds opened up to see something bigger, was on the heels of that march and rally in 2017. And that's when I sat back after that, when everybody raised their voices at the end.
Right.
The Lord had spoke to my mind, mm-hmm. Said, "Everybody, have everybody sing Amazing Grace, but let them do it in their own language."
Mm.
We had Vietnamese language, Filipino language, Hispanic, English, and deaf signing.
Wow. Wow.
And at the end there, with no music accompanied, mm-hmm. just voices,
right.
Dr. Miller from First Warrington,
yeah.
My dear friend, said, "This is going to be
Baptist,
folks like
yeah.
what heaven's going to be like one day."
Yeah, yeah, it is.
With all of us.
Yeah.
You know,
every tribe, every
voices.
Tongue, every nation.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's when I went back home and I thought, you know what? The Holy Spirit began to speak to my mind.
Right.
That, Ron, this is not just for the west side of Pensacola. This is something I'd like to take to towns and cities all over. Because we need, everybody's been talking about, I know in our own denomination, mm-hmm. SBC leaders get together at these conventions.
Right. Right.
And everybody was talking about of my generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need another Jesus movement.
Right, right.
Like we had in the 70s, man, for
yeah.
that new generation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was a movement that brought in thousands of hippies, long hairs.
Right, right.
People within the yeah. black, white community were brought to Christ
yeah.
by the people, Pied Pipers like Arthur Blessed
right.
and Richard Hoag, and all these guys were the Pied Pipers of that movement
right.
back in the 70s. We need a movement like that. And I thought to myself, Lord, could this be? I'll tell you, I'm just,
yeah,
it moves
yeah.
my heart right now
yeah.
thinking about it. Could this be,
let it be
what we've experienced here tonight?
Yes.
Could this be a catalyst
mm-hmm.
that you could use to bring it, to usher in another move of God, another Jesus movement
mm.
that could bring it, that millennials could gravitate to
right.
instead of, you know, being divided politically and,
right.
and race, to have something that would bring them together, the cross.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when Jesus, Billy Graham did that, Here's Hope America,
mm-hmm.
his
mm-hmm.
last televised
yes.
thing that
yeah,
went
oh, yeah,
out,
I remember that.
And he did that beautiful video at the end
mm-hmm.
about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that cross, the cross of our Lord, is the one unique thing that separates it.
Right.
The main thing, should I say,
right.
that separates it from all the religion and isms
mm-hmm.
and ideologies and philosophies of the world, the cross.
Right.
You know? And I'm thinking, man, it's yes. the cross
yeah.
that can bring us his death
right.
of the living Savior, the Son
yes.
of the living God.
That's what he did.
Resurrected from
yeah.
the tomb. If we can get back to the essentials
yes.
of our faith,
uh-huh.
I mean reel back, getting back to the main message, and stay on message.
Right.
And when the reporters come with their cameras, what do you think about this? We come
and
back like Billy Graham did
right.
and said, well, you know, frankly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
All
we're
of
all
us.
Retrobates going to hell.
Yeah, right, we are.
Not the
Jesus.
Gay, the gay, straights, black
right.
women,
right.
you know, all of us are going to hell.
Right, right,
we're
right.
all hellbound.
Right.
But here's
right.
the good news, and you bring it back like Dr. Graham had a
right.
beautiful way of doing. Billy Graham always brought it back.
Yes.
Whether it was on Larry King Live or wherever he was at
yeah,
on TV.
Yeah, I remember his interviews on
He
yeah.
steered it back to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to stay on message. We could say to the folks, you know, here in this crowd, you might find a variety of opinions on this
mm-hmm.
and that, but you know what? We're all, everyone here
right.
in this march is all in agreement in one thing. Christ and him crucified for
yeah.
our sins,
mm-hmm.
resurrected from
yeah.
the tomb,
yeah.
coming back one day.
Yeah.
We're here to say that Jesus is the only hope
right.
that can heal the wounds that yeah. Plague America right now.
Yeah.
No politician
and
can do it.
And it's true.
Yes, it's true.
It's true. It's actually true.
No one can do it. Not
yeah.
not anybody.
Religion can't do it.
There is no political savior.
No, there is not.
There is no political
yeah.
party savior. There is all, we're all bankrupt spiritually.
Yeah. yeah.
apart from Christ. We are spiritually bankrupt. Republicans, Democrats, black, white, red, yellow, male, female, we're done.
Right.
If it wasn't for the cross.
Right.
You know, it's Jesus.
Yeah, it's Jesus. So I love the way you say, you write in your book, and this is so important, you said, you know, you make the decision and then you go for it and then the feeling comes.
That's right.
You know,
they'll catch up with
you. That's one thing good about, you know, coming from a Baptist background, you know, Baptists are really good at doing what's right because it's right. But some other particular denominations or people like maybe Charismatic Pentecostal, they're going to wait for the feeling.
Right.
And the reality is obedience.
Obedience.
Just do it. And that even if you don't feel it,
right,
it will come. And if it doesn't even come, it wasn't about a feeling. It's about a Savior who died for us.
Right.
You're talking about feeling, right? Being crucified on the cross for our sins. But talk up just briefly about that, because a lot of people are waiting for a feeling.
Yeah.
They're hooked on a feeling. They're tired of believing.
Right, right, know, right. That song's right.
And so, but it's about making a decision, and that's what you did, and that's what we all could do.
You know, I go back to John 15. Jesus made it very clear. Again, if you just go back to Jesus' teachings. I mean, if you only had one book in the Bible that you could have with you, and you're on a deserted island, and you only have the book of John or Matthew.
Right,
the Gospel of John. Jesus.
Yeah.
John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you shall bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We cannot produce love within ourselves. I'm just going to get all loving.
Right.
I'm going to somehow produce that, and I'm going to be a loving guy. I've been a real mean, cantankerous guy, but I'm going to be a loving. Now, you can't produce that.
Right.
We can't produce agape love, God-filled, you know, supernatural love, patience, peace, kindness.
Right.
The fruits of the Holy Spirit are a byproduct of an abiding relationship.
That's right.
So as we just draw closer to Him, you know, that's the key, then He'll automatically, it's like it. Once we say yes to Jesus, in spite of how we feel, it's a green light. He gives a green light to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Holy Spirit's green light.
Right.
To give us a filling, you know, you can call it baptism filling, different denominations have different terms. But you get infused and filled, like it's a house. You have a house in your heart.
Right.
At salvation, we open up the door to the house. He comes into the living room.
Right.
So He's in us.
Christ in you, the hope of
He's
glory.
In us.
Right.
But He's only in the living room.
Right.
Sanctification is the process of turning over every key to every other room.
All your heart,
the bedroom,
all your mind,
the kitchen, basement, attic. Yeah. That's a surrendering to the yielding of the Lordship. Salvation is in there, but we haven't surrendered everything yet.
Right.
Sanctification is the process where He deals with us. Like with Peter, still had racism, even after the resurrection.
Yeah.
Even though
he preached the first message about unity when Cornelius' house, he still had issues.
So, you know, you're seeing that sanctification is a process, but if we're obedient to say yes to the Lord, it's a green light to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit then, you know, He will produce through us.
Mm-hmm.
The vine shoots the sap.
Mm-hmm.
The sap is the Holy Spirit, right? So we're connected to the vine.
Jesus.
We're the branches. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, branches can't produce apples on their own. The sap has to come up through the vine.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit into the branch.
Mm-hmm.
So He'll produce through us our obedience. He produces love. So the command, I give you a new command, John 13, verses 34, I believe. I give you a new command to love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the way you love one another. So again, the evangelistic component.
Not your sign on the door.
Yeah.
Not your doctrine.
Look
your
at
love.
John 17 and John 13, that verse coincide. By this all men will know.
Right.
They'll know you're my disciples by you'll love each other. By this unity, may they be one, so the world will know.
Right.
So here's the trouble with evangelism with a lot of churches and people's lives is they're not, they haven't said yes.
Yeah.
To obey the command.
Right.
And so once we say yes, even though we may have feelings of bitterness and embitterment because of an incident that happened when we were a kid or last year or somebody of a different car that hurt us, and we're not willing to let go of it yet, by saying, Lord, it's wrong and I will obey you now, I will commit myself to love, but you're going to have to, Lord, work through me now, Father, work through me, give me the ability that I don't have to supernaturally forgive,
right?
So I can receive the healing.
Because He says, this is another elephant in the room. If you don't forgive.
Oh, you won't be forgiven.
That's an elephant in the room here.
And it's not so much salvation.
Jesus said this.
Yeah, that's a fellowship issue. Okay. It's not like you're going to lose your salvation because He's still working on it.
I'm talking about that. I'm just talking about He just said He won't forgive you.
Right.
If you don't forgive.
And that's broken fellowship.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, when we sin, we break fellowship. We never lose a relationship, mm-hmm. but we can break fellowship.
Okay.
And that can only be restored by obedience.
Okay.
By obedience. But yeah, that, you know, that's the thing, Greg. And I know that I've done the last 3 years, mm-hmm. I've said and done things.
Mm-hmm.
When I get back home to my wife,
right.
I says, man, I can't believe
right.
that I was able to do that, that I was able to say, where did that come from?
Right.
Then you suddenly realize it wasn't me.
It's the Holy Spirit.
It was the Holy Spirit working through me because I made myself available. He doesn't need our abilities.
Right.
He needs our availability.
You talk about, you know, Jesus speaking in John, well, they wrote down what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you right. can ask whatever you wish
and it shall
be given
to
you. Well, a lot of people want to abide, but they don't have a plan to do it. Well, we right. have a simple plan for yeah. you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your simple plan because what, you know, Ron's talking about, once you hang out with God, just things begin to happen in your life. The Holy Spirit begins to move in your life. But apart from him, we can do nothing. So go to iabide.org and request your simple plan today.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.